Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning. You all right? Hope you are doing well on this lovely morning. It has just ticked past 8 in the AM GMT. On Thursday, the 29th of January, in the year of our Lord 2026, I'm joined by Harry, my producer. How are you this morning, Harry?
Morning.
And you are... Oh, Big Harry's just appeared. when Harry's collide, Big Harry and Little Harry, both of whom are much taller men than me. Okay. All right, yeah, you have joined the Beau Show. Breakfast with Beau. Beau's Breakfast Club, the BBC. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. We few, we happy few. We band of brothers. Now, let's see what's going on this morning. What's the world talking about? What is the corporate legacy mainstream media banging on about this morning? Let's have a look. Oh, there's a lot of Iran this morning. Okay, we're going to be talking about Iran again today. Okay, brace yourself. Countdown to conflagration and restore high streets or lose election. So yeah, it's quite a lot of Iran. So again, the cabal of editors have decided that it's time to talk about Iran today. Yeah, it really is as cynical as that. The Daily Mail. Time running out for Tehran. Trump. My armada is ready to strike with speed and violence. Iran, our forces have fingers on triggers and will respond like never before. Countdown to conflagration. Happy now. Okay. So yeah, so this is sort of the big story. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, didn't we, briefly, because it was in some news a little bit yesterday. That Donald Trump's moving a whole, they're calling it an armada, but, you know, it's a carrier group, moving it into the Persian Gulf, the Gulf of Oman, where the Straits of Hormuz is, and all there. Moving a big carrier group there. Also, we'll probably see reports of it later, but also lots and lots of air assets moving to the various other bases in and around the region. So, like, Qatar has got a big air base, isn't it? Really big air base there. Also, Jordan. Jordan allows the US to use its air bases for fast jets and bombers and stuff. And yeah, apparently America, it's not just that carrier group, the USS Abraham Lincoln. Lots and lots of other war materiel has been and is being moved to the region. I mean, it may just all be posturing to put pressure on the Ayatollah, but it is what you would do if you were meant to do, you know, extended military operations. It gives Trump and Hegseth and Rubio, it does give them the option if they do want to actually do it. I mean, we'll have a poll going. I asked Harry to make the poll, and it would be something along the lines of, you know, should the US, should Trump intervene, should they strike in Iran? So we'll see what you guys think. All right, let's have a look at another paper. The Guardian. A bit early in the morning. For The Guardian. All right, it says, timing's running out. Trump says a US armada... Trump says as US armada heads towards Iran. And they go with that picture of Ilhan Omar getting squirted with something. She's unhurt, by the way. I don't let bullies win. Ilhan Omar defiant after syringe attack. Don't you? I would love it if they somehow stripped her of her citizenship and sent her back to Somalia. That would be hilarious. Starmer meets Xi in historic visit to Beijing. Yeah, so as I said yesterday, he was on his way yesterday, wasn't he? He's there now. He's there now. It's touchdown. He's in China. Yeah, and so it's a historic visit. I mean, the last time a prime minister went to China was a while ago, like a good... between 5 and 10 years ago, 2017 or 18. And of course, it's probably the biggest foreign visit, maybe with the exception of going to Washington, that Starmer's done. Yeah, and he's, as you can imagine, or at least in my opinion, everything he's doing and saying out there is sort of subservient to them. But we'll get into some more of the headlines. Labour told, restore high streets or lose election. Well, they're going to lose the election anyway. I can only imagine that's really the calculation from a lot of the people on the inside at number 10. They know they're going to lose anyway, so they may as well just go full bore, full steam ahead with their policies, regardless of how unpopular they are or how destructive they are. They're just going to do what they want because they're going to lose anyway. I do fear that is sort of their thinking, their calculation on that. All right, the Mirror. Something about somebody who's acts in Coronation Street, don't care about that. Something about the Beckhams, don't care about that. Okay. US in Gulf standoff, Trump's war threat to Iran. President warns rogue state, time is running out for nuke talks. And then there's a picture there of the USS Abraham Lincoln. An absolute giant aircraft carrier. The US aircraft carriers, what are they, the Ford class aircraft carriers? I'm not sure actually if that one is a Ford class, but I think it is. Anyway, they're much bigger than ours. A few other countries have got aircraft carriers, right? Like China's got a couple. We've got a couple other countries. I think Spain's got one, weirdly. Or like a few other countries got old ones as well. Like, I don't know, like Brazil has got an old Soviet one and stuff. The Soviets have got one. But the American ones, not only have America got way more than anyone else, everyone else has got one or two or maybe three at absolute most. And that club's small. It's a small number of nations that have got any. And America's got way more than anyone else, and the ones that they've got are the most sophisticated and biggest. Way bigger. Like the biggest US aircraft carrier is gigantic if you sailed our one next to it. Their capacity for launching fast jets and stuff is much, much bigger. It's not just for show off, it's not just, you know, the bigger it is, the more aeroplanes you can get on it. Simple as that. So there you go. We shall see what happens. The Eye paper, same thing, then the Iran story. Nuclear ultimatum. Abandon weapons program or massive armada will bomb Iran, US threatens Ayatollah. Trump warns of bombardment from US fleet, quote, moving quickly float to region unless Tehran swiftly agrees to negotiate a deal. So that's interesting, isn't it? That it's sort of the narrative is sort of... Well, it has changed, isn't it? That a lot of what you'll see in the headlines today is that Trump and the administration, US administration, are talking a lot about that Iran needs to disarm its nuclear program. Of course, it is still mentioning, it's still saying about the protests and the thousands, whether it's low thousands or whether it's tens of thousands, all those killings that the Iranian regime has done recently. It's talking less about that. There's less emphasis on that and more emphasis on a nuclear deal, that Iran needs to stop its nuclear program entirely. So it's back to that. It's switched back to that. Everyone's noticed, of course, right? It's not like a clever sleight of hand that only the most savvy would have spotted. No, it's like kind of obvious. I mean, Trump's doing it. It's both, isn't it? I mean, it's both things, but it's the full spectrum of argument being made. Okay, Iranians are fleeing capital, the Eye paper learns, in anticipation of imminent attack. Yeah, I did see this morning one or two clips coming out, and it, whether you can believe them or not, you don't even know what day that bit of footage was taken on, but, you know, it's difficult to trust anything, really, at first blush, that you see on the internet, that you see on Twitter or something. But if it is to be believed, it does look like a fair few people are sort of fleeing Tehran, at least, because it's likely to be targets in Tehran itself that the Americans want to strike if they are going to do such a thing. US president says strikes will be worse than the 2025 bombing of nuclear facilities. Yeah, because that was really quite a precision strike, it seemed, didn't it? It was very, very limited and quite precise. That, wasn't it? It was trying to take out, they claimed, the US claimed it did take out, very specific buildings or underground buildings and things. It's not a case of just trying to take out like a whole barracks or a whole airfield or just like big buildings or complex of buildings in Tehran. So if they did something this time, it would have to be a lot broader, wouldn't it? If they did. Iran's armed forces ready, quote, with fingers on the trigger to powerfully respond to aggression, says Iranian foreign minister. Yeah, so they've come out, and as you can expect, I mean, what else can they do, really? But as you can expect, the Iranian regime came out, bellicose back, saying, if you do anything, we'll strike you back. You, the United States, will reap a whirlwind if you attack us. I mean, I know this always comes across as me standing for the United States and Trump. I've said it a number of times. I'll say it again, I am broadly in favour with him. Of course, if it was a binary choice between Washington, D.C. and Tehran, I'm on board with the Yanks, right? So, having said all that, I actually don't want to stand for them too much here. I mean, I'm very conflicted about this, really, if we're getting serious about it. Because it's not like a Venezuela thing. Okay, let me tell you my thoughts and feelings, where I'm standing on this. It is a difficult one. It's much more difficult. If you take, for example, the idea of attacking Mexican drug cartels. For me, in my mind, that's a pretty black and white issue. These are just simply monsters that need to be wiped off the face of the earth, right? For example. If you look at what he did to Maduro in Venezuela, that's something very, very different to what would have to be done in Iran. It's something very, very different. Venezuela as a country is not like an Iraq or an Iran. They've got a civil society. It's unlikely that Venezuela is will just descend into some sort of 2004, 2005 Iraqi nightmare. It's a different kettle of fish, right? Whereas Iran, I feel like, it could possibly go terribly wrong, like terribly, terribly, terribly wrong, if Trump did decide to do all sorts of airstrikes and try and do a regime change. Right? It could go absolutely disastrously wrong. It could end up with, okay, you topple the regime, okay, one of your Tomahawks or one of your smart bombs from an F-22 or something does kill the Ayatollah and loads of the mullahs, and the military take over, but then that's just as bad, and then they're toppled or whatever, and it's just a complete chaos, and a bloodbath for years and years and years on end. Right, that's the worry. It's not that I like Islamic theocracies. If I could just click my fingers and the regime of the Ayatollahs was replaced by a strong, stable, much more open government and society in Iran, I would. But you can't guarantee that, can you? You might topple the regime in Iran and it's replaced by something much worse. Exactly like what happened in Iraq. When Venezuela happened and people saying, oh, it's terrible, so it's going to be another Iraq, I thought, my immediate take was, no, it isn't. No, it won't. It almost certainly won't. I mean, it might. It still might, actually. But I don't think it will. I don't think that's likely. But Iran, though, Iran is and always has been sort of some sort of melting pot of various types of people, different stripes of religion, even. I mean, obviously, it's largely Shia Sunni, isn't it? Famously, like the regime of the Ayatollahs is Shia, right? But it's not that every single person in Iran, far from it, is just like a fairly hardline Shiite. That's not the case at all. There's all sorts of different peoples with all sorts of different interests, with all sorts of different worldviews. and a lot of them prepared to fight for it, like in Iraq. And it was Saddam, like a strong leader, strong man leader, that kept a lid on it all largely with repression. I think something similar, probably not quite as bad as Iraq, but something similar-ish is what you'd be looking at in Iran, I think, I fear. So it's not that. So my reticence for Trump and the US to get involved and do this is not for any sort of love for the Ayatollah, obviously. But it's the fear that what comes next is orders of magnitude worse. Right? And it's already pretty bad, right? If the Iranian regime, as bad as it is, just in the recent few weeks have killed 2,000, 3,000 protesters, 17,000 protesters, 30,000 protesters, whatever it is. That's terrible, isn't it? But what if that number pales in comparison to the number of innocent people that end up dying or tortured, terribly maimed and things? Should the US do a regime change? And ultimately, it ends in anarchy. It ends in a chaos. So that's why my take, I hope it's not too much of a fence-sitting thing. I'm trying to be honest with you. Because I'm not interested in... I'm trying to give you a real take, my real thoughts and feelings, what it's worth. Probably annoy people on both sides of the ledger there, but what can you do? I'm trying to be honest with how I think, what I think and how I feel about it with you for a few minutes. Because on one side... It's interesting, isn't it? On one side of the scale, you've got someone like Maya Tusi, who's extremely anti... And I'm not... This is not a criticism on him or Academic Agent, whom I'm about to mention. Two ends of the spectrum. One is, Maya Tusi is, you know, very much super, super, super strongly against the regime, and anything the US might do or Israel might do to topple the regime is welcome, and he's fanboying it 100% all the way. Again, no criticism of him. That's just his opinion. Okay. All right, that's how he feels. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got somebody perhaps like AA, Academic Agent, who, you know, thinks that any... I don't want to speak for him too much, but, you know, who thinks that any military action things by the US is just all on behalf of maybe Israeli interests, and it's just not a good thing, you know. Like, war in general is just like, oh, come on, like, how many times do we have to go through this? You know how it ends, right? You know, with some sort of terrible, terrible outcome, ultimately. So, two ends of the spectrum there. One pro-intervention, one not. I can see both. I can see both. I can see arguments for and against both of their positions, you know? I'm certainly not in either of their camps wholeheartedly. So it's offensive. I try not to be a fence-sitter, certainly not for its own sake. It's a difficult one. I wonder what the poll will come out as, our poll, Bo's Breakfast Club poll. I feel like... I'm truly conflicted. If only you had the magic hindsight glasses that we could see how it works out. Because, you know, it could be that the United States removes the regime one way or another, bombs it into submission, and the people of Tehran and Iran can just walk into empty buildings and start a new provisional government for themselves one way or the other. Or what's left of the Iranian military just start a provisional government. And it all works out, and sort of the Iran of the 1960s and 70s returns, and it's all pretty relaxed and chilled out, and in hindsight, it was a great move. Or, right, it could end up in 2004-05 Iraq, and it was obviously the wrong thing to do. Kind of obviously worse for average people, for the entire region. The entire region. But we don't know, right? We can't see the future. Okie dokie, let's move on a bit then. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. Starmer, he used the ECHR to investigate British troops. We talked about that story yesterday, didn't we? How a few years back when he was at the CPS, he launched witch hunts against our troops. Who largely, if not entirely, were ultimately shown to have done nothing wrong. That's the kind of man Starmer is. It's fake, isn't it? It's so fake. Such a phony. Phony. Former army chief calls into question PM's fitness for office after association with convicted fraudster Phil Shiner. Yeah, that's a rabbit hole if you want to look at Phil Shiner. Real rabbit hole, that. The people Sir Keir has surrounded himself with and what they have done and said in the past. There he is. There's our head of government, First Lord of the Treasury. There, His Majesty's Prime Minister in China, doing his best to pretend that he's not some sort of robot. It's a freak. Our armada is ready, Trump warns Iran. Oh, yeah. Labour councils lent on to axe elections. Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me. That whole story of local elections being put off or suspended. It's in the order, I think, last time I read in detail, it was something like 29 or 30 councils up and down the country just simply won't have their elections in May, it looks like. That whole story, I've suspected, and that article there seems to confirm, is that it was a very, very, just a very, very deliberate thing from up on high, from Westminster. So, like, use this as an excuse. Say this and that, and don't have your elections. Because Labour, particularly, just fear they'll just lose it to reform. So in order to prevent that, we'll completely subvert democracy. What little bit of democracy we've still got left, we'll just completely abandon that, effectively. And for a little bit. So annoying. And worse than annoying. Infuriating. Worse than infuriating, even. It's getting close to insufferable. Actually insufferable. Okay, the Times, the venerable Times, make no deals with China until Jimmy Lai freed, Jimmy Lai's son says. Jimmy Lai, a Chinese businessman who's been imprisoned. It's cool to see someone say that. I doubt Keir Starmer will put any pressure on Xi, Winnie the Pooh, over anything. Because Sir Keir Starmer is a complete coward on every level. Particularly politically. A coward, no backbone, no guts whatsoever. He'll let Winnie the Pooh just bully him and browbeat him and dictate to him and ask for nothing, demand nothing in return. Because that's who he is, just pure weakness. Just Xi's puppet. I mean, puppet is a bit strong. It's not, it's obviously not completely his puppet, but he's obviously in hock to him in some sense. I mean, kind of obviously, isn't it? When you look at all the different things that Starmer's done in his government, all the different policies he's decided to run with, and they're in China's interest and not ours. What other conclusion can you come to, really? PM shelves fresh plan to overhaul benefits. Welfare reforms unlikely before next election as Starmer seeks to avoid clash with his own MPs. That's all Starmer does now, domestically, is try to avoid clashes with his own backbenchers. That's the story of his government. I mean, it's the way it is when you've got a big majority. Said it the other day, didn't I? Doesn't really have to pay much attention to what Ed Davey or Olukemi Badenoch says. Because they can't outvote him in the chamber. But his own backbench MPs can prevent him from winning. But so what they want and what they say and what they demand, he sort of has to listen to if he wants to win anything. So, okay. Iran, quote, has its fingers on the trigger, quote, in face of US threats. Yeah, I mean, how much is it worth? You know, could they... Would Iran try and really, really bomb and flatten like that airbase near Doha? Or would they have a concerted effort to sink any US warships. Would they be able to? It'd be interesting to see if it plays out. If America starts striking Iran and Iran do everything they can to strike back, what would that look like? How effective would that be? Apparently the airbase, the US airbase in Qatar has got, they've moved loads more anti-missile batteries there. It'd be interesting to see if Iran's capability would add up to all that much. But then when the United States decide they're going to go, it is quite, it is, again, I don't want to seem like just a complete sycophant for them, but it is something fearsome. Like when they went into Afghanistan in 2001, the amount of fury unleashed from the skies was remarkable. The Taliban as a regime collapsed really quickly, really, really quickly. When they went into Iraq in 2003, it was sort of a masterclass in dominating the battle space. Like, winning the peace afterwards is something else, right? Not so good at that. But yeah, becoming, gaining for yourself complete air dominance, that's what the United States do. That's what they're best at. That's what tickers do best. That's what they can do. You win dominance of the skies first. Like Iran's air force, their fleet of fast jets against dozens or even hundreds of US fast jets, F-22s or whatever, F-35s, on and on, all sorts of stuff. Surveillance craft. America, if they want to, will gain control of the skies over Persia. And then that's it. That's sort of the ball game right there in terms of then dominating the battlefield. It's just an insurmountable advantage for Iran to overcome. Well, we shall see, I guess. It does look like, I do feel like, if I had to make a prediction, I do feel like Trump and the US will do something. It won't be a full 2003 invasion, land invasion with armoured divisions, the big red one screaming up the length of Iran to Tehran and doing thunder runs down the middle of Tehran. It won't be that. It's not that. But whether it will be a big sustained air campaign, something a bit like Afghanistan in 2001, something like that. I don't know, maybe. It looks like they are gearing up to do something, at least giving themselves the genuine option to do something like that. It does look like that is in the offing. Well, again, we shall see. What else have we got in the papers? The Daily Express, it's a good paper. Tory leader blasts reform defectors for having a quote, a tantrum dressed up as politics, quote, cope, total cope. Kemi says, my party is for serious people and not drama queens. Yeah, right, says the drama queen. Says the DEI hire vacuous drama queen. I don't feel sorry for Kemi, but you know what it's like. Probably most people out there know what it's like. When you're in some sort of situation, whether you're playing in sport, you're playing a game of football or basketball or something, or even you're playing a board game, you're playing a game of Risk maybe, and the game is going away from you. It's ebbing away from you. You can feel it inexorably that you're losing, that all your momentum is draining away, and that the other side, their momentum's just building and building and building. And sort of, you can sort of see that no matter what you do, no matter what play you've got in mind, that's going to keep happening. That trend is going to keep happening. Everything's going away from you. Even in a relationship, if you've ever had a relationship fail over a long period of time, or a friendship fall apart quite slowly. Yeah, most people out there must have had that. And you feel the person or the people ebbing away from you. It doesn't really matter what you say or do. The die is already cast. It's just ebbing. It doesn't matter what you... You feel it. You can feel it just ebbing away. That's what... that's what Kemi must have with the Tory party. It doesn't matter what she says or does at this point, really. The Conservative Party is bleeding out. It's just going to keep bleeding out. There's no real way to staunch the bleeding, whether it's actual defectors to reform or not. You know, at the next local elections, the councils they do still hold, they'll probably lose, largely. Not all of them, I wouldn't have thought, but a lot. At the next general election, if things stay as they are, I suspect the number of Tory MPs will go down a bit. I mean, I'd like zero seats. Perhaps the... Well, not perhaps. That isn't realistic, but that actual zero seats. But to have them go down... I'm surprised they got as many as they did at the last general election. I'm surprised they got as many as they did, but I suspect at the next general election it will go down further, like to under 100, because they've got over 100 still, haven't they? And I suspect it will go to under 100, maybe even. And it's all just ebbing away from Kemi. Yeah, and she can have a little pop at the defectors, saying they're just throwing a tantrum. Is it? Is that an accurate description of what's going on here? It's just a tantrum from Suella Braverman. Is it? And Robert Jenrick. They're just having a tantrum. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. That's not exactly what's going on here, is it? But hey, Tory party, Tory members who voted for Kemi, that's what you get. She's not truly a leader, is she? I mean, they've given her the title of leader. But is she, as a person, as a human being, an inspirational leader of men? Someone that your average normie can see strutting on the world stage as a prime minister and wielding authority and gravitas? No, just silly little DEI hire. Ugh. Parachuted in by virtue signalers. She's a Nigerian person. Come on. The FT, the Financial Times, Trump threat US, quote, armada nearing Iran. Miners boost value, mining companies, boost value by $476 billion after global tensions drive up metal prices. Gold and silver surge, copper at record higher, investors ditch dollar, Rio Tinto and Glencore profit, mining companies. Yeah, again, what I said the last few days, the fact that precious metals, particularly gold and silver now, and copper at record higher. So... gold, silver and copper all at record highs and keep hitting more and more record highs. And if you're going to invest in anything, it would be like a company like Rio Tinto, one of the world's biggest mining companies. It does suggest that there's not that much appetite for risk. What do they know that we don't? If you've got any, if you've got any investments out there in something particularly volatile, maybe think about moving it. That's not financial advice. When I used to work for asset management firms, I never actually got the, like most people that work for, I never actually got the qualification to be a fully legal financial advisor. But yet people still ask for financial advice all the time, and you sort of do give financial advice all the time. You just have to add the caveat. This isn't financial advice. Because if someone then goes and acts on it, loses all their money, they can then sue you. They told me to do it. You go, no, I told you I wasn't actually a financial advisor, didn't I, remember? So anyway, this isn't financial advice. However, probably think about moving your any sort of volatile assets you've got. I mean, if this is anything to go by. Unless you want to take a gamble, take a big gamble. You know, if you think you can see into the future. But certainly a lot of people that it's their job to be financial analysts, for what that's worth, very often still wrong, en masse. They're interested in putting their money in precious metals. So, you know, draw your own conclusions from that. All right. What else we got? The Sun. What slop of The Sun got? Oh, they go with Letby, Lucy Letby. This cop who caught another killer nurse, was it? Yeah. He says that the Letby conviction isn't safe. Letby, the greatest miscarriage of justice this century. So yeah, more and more voices, more and more people are saying it's a complete miscarriage of justice. I can't bring myself to like spend a few hours or a day reading and watching everything there is to know about the Letby case, really. I can't bring myself to be that interested in it. I mean, she's convicted and... not that this doesn't mean she isn't innocent, but I'm saying she's convicted and I think all her appeals have gone through, which she's lost. I think that's the case. If that is the case, it's a done deal. Unless a Home Secretary... I think the only way back from that, I think, is if the actual Home Secretary, maybe even the Justice Minister as well, personally get involved. And that's extremely, extremely, extremely rare. You know, and the current Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, has never made any noises about she's even considering doing any such thing. So, for those that want Lucy Letby to be freed or even face retrials or something, or a reinvestigation or anything like that, they've got a long road. I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong. I really don't know. But there's a long uphill struggle ahead for that one. All right, the Metro. Disdain Cam 1. Metro. Yeah, you. Scum. Scumter. 80-year-old crime mastermind. Lotto winner set up £228 million drug empire. This old fella there, that old chap, he won like £2.5 million on the lottery and turned it into a £228 million drug empire. There you go. Just, again, an individual story. The Metro thinks important. It's not. God damn Metro. Damn them. The Daily Star. Brooklyn's £80,000 wine. Spend it like Beckham. There's Sydney Sweeney in some lingerie. Lovely. Spend it like Beckham. Again, a pun on bend it like Beckham. And the story is that Brooklyn Beckham and his wife own some very, very expensive bottles of wine. Front page news. All right. Let's have a look at the website. Oh, no, let's go to our the poll. What does the poll say? What do you guys think about the US Trump intervening in Iran? Sort of mirrors my thoughts and feelings again. Can you bring it up again, Harry? It was there and then it's just gone. Okay, so 53% of you say yes, Trump should intervene in Iran. 26% of you say no, and 21% of you say not sure. That does sort of mirror my thoughts and feelings about it. Like, conflicted, in other words, really quite conflicted. Can feel, can understand and see and feel both sides of the arguments here. To say it's not clear cut in my mind. What is best? What's the best thing to do? What is the best thing to do for the region, for the people of Iran, for the world? It's not anywhere near 100% clear to me. And well, that's what our poll also reflects, doesn't it? Although the majority of you though still just do say yes. It's now ticked up to 54%, over 1,000 votes. Well, over 1,000 votes there. So again, it's not just like 20 people voted. It's quite a few. It's not a bad cross section actually. Like in actual polling. I think real proper polls often only have a few thousand. So we've got over 1,000 there. So yeah. But still, 54% say He should.
Okay.
I am sort of split 50-50, more or less. Maybe. It's funny, when I saw that, and that's very close to reflecting my thoughts of his. Early on, I was going to say I'm sort of, I was going to put a number on it, but I thought that was a bit trite. But the number I had in mind was I'm 60% in favour of the US doing some sort of intervention, but a good solid chunk, 40%, no. Well, that poll, that is trite to say, though. Anyway, that poll reflects that very, very closely. Again, in harmony with my own audience. I like it. The glorious band, the chosen few, my people. I am a river to my people. My takes are a river to my people. All right. Okay, good. Well, let's move on to the actual websites then. Won't spend too much time on the big stories we've already covered. See what else we've got. See what else the world is talking about. Okay, US-China, yeah. Build more sophisticated relationship. That's a big quote coming out from the Stalin Winnie the Pooh conference, is that they should build a more sophisticated relationship. Yeah, so that China's got a more sophisticated way to bend us to their will. Great. What could happen if the US strikes Iran? Here are seven scenarios. Let's look at this real one real quick, because it sort of talks about, won't spend too much time on it, but it does sort of lay out at least some of my concerns. The 40% of me that says, you know, maybe don't attack Iran in any way. Okay, the BBC just lay out seven different possibilities. One is that there's targeted surgical strikes, minimal civilian casualties, and a transition to democracy. You know, sort of the best possible outcome, I suppose. Okay, or the regime survives but moderates its policies. Not that likely. That doesn't seem very likely. But, you know, who knows? Oh, look, they see a map, an interesting map, look. So the aircraft carriers, the USS is going up here, the Gulf of Oman, the Straits of Hormuz there, super important. This is Qatar, the island of Qatar there, and Bahrain, the little Shiite island of Bahrain there, where there's the US can use that as with port facilities, giant airbase in Doha there, and you can see Jordan. Airplanes, they might need to refuel somewhere along the line. But they can strike into Iran from Jordan. Okay. Another option is that the regime collapses and is replaced by a military rule. Well, that is quite likely. In fact, it says, look, many think this is the most likely possible outcome. Yeah. I mean, that seems like it wouldn't just suddenly be the mob of Tehran spontaneously form a government. It'd probably be the military, what was left of it anyway, after days or weeks or months of airstrikes from the US, would form any sort of provisional government. And, you know, who knows whether they're any better, right? There's no guarantee that they might just not be really repressive and murderous or whatever. Who knows, right? Oh, another option is Iran retaliates by attacking US forces and neighbours. You know, the idea that the Iranian response is actually fearsome and devastating and makes the chiefs of staff at the Pentagon rethink their plans. They do sink an aircraft carrier or two and wipe the US air base in Doha off the map. Maybe that could happen, couldn't it? I don't think it would, but it could. We don't know. Normal people like you or I haven't got access to military intelligence. Don't know exactly how many missiles and how big Iran have got. Another option, Iran retaliates by laying mines in the Gulf. Or like the Gulf of Aden, the Straits of Hormuz there, where loads and loads of oil shipping goes through. They could just mine it. Iran often threatens to do that. We'll just completely saturate that stretch of water with sea mines and sort of cripple the flow of oil and shipping through there, disrupting all sorts of things all around the world. Look, the Straits of Hormuz there. Oh, look, they've given us a big map there. So this is the UAE, who are majority Sunni. They're no fans of Iran. It's funny that Bahrain aren't either, even though they are Shia. But anyway. This, if anyone doesn't know, this stretch of water is strategically important. And the Iranians could just completely saturate it with sea mines. Okay, the other option is that Iran retaliates, sinking a US warship. And then what does Trump do then? What does Hegseth do then? At that point, would they be looking at, oh, well, we're going to send out, yeah, mobile infantry. We're going to send in the Marine Corps. We're going to start talking about dropping the big one. They wouldn't do that. I highly doubt they would do that. But then maybe it does, maybe they do decide, well, we're going to have to do a 2003-style Saddam regime change. Yeah, with thousands and thousands of armoured vehicles rushing across the Gedrosian wastes. A full invasion, Alexander-style, of Persia. Going all the way to Tehran. Abrams doing thunder runs down the middle of Tehran. I don't know. I thought Trump was supposed to be the anti-war president. Although it would be best if that regime was removed. The regime collapses, replaced by chaos. Right, that's the ultimate worry, isn't it? Right, that's the worst case scenario, isn't it? Isn't it? Surely nobody wants that. I mean, I wonder what Maya Tusi would say if you talk to him about that. Is that not a worry for you? He'd probably say, of course it is. Don't be silly. Of course it is. But like, you know, we're talking, how likely is that? That's the risk management game, isn't it? How likely is that? All I would say is that it's not terribly unlikely. It's not inconceivable, is it? That Iran descends into an Iraq-style quagmire nightmare. All right, let's just move on a bit, shall we? Sky News, what did they say? Oh, yeah, we with Xi and Sequeer say, we can stand the test of history, Xi tells Starmer. Like, some sort of, let's have a reset on our relationship. Whatever's come before, including wars, Britain's gone to war with China in the past. More than once. Even in the 1950s, British troops were exchanging fire with Red Chinese soldiers in Korea. But in the 19th century, we went to war with them more than once. Burnt down big parts of Beijing, if I seem to recall, in the 19th century. Lord Elgin, you know the Elgin Marbles, Lord Elgin? One of his descendants, whether it was his son or his grandson, I can't remember. Entered Beijing and burnt down massive chunks of it. Sorry. I do apologise, old boy. Let's have a reset. We can stand the test of history. And they were obviously alluding to various things like that in the past. Our involvement in the Boxer Rebellion, the Opium Wars, the various Opium Wars in the 19th century. There were all sorts of allusions to that, saying, you know, maybe we have had rocky relationships in the past, one way or another, but now let's work together, right? Let's be best buddies. Like the Chinese really forgot their century of humiliation and all that thing, all that sort of thing. As if the Chinese wouldn't, as I said yesterday, as if they wouldn't bully us into complete submission on every front if they could. Of course they would. Of course they would. Like, they're somehow benevolent in any way. They're not. All right, the Daily Mail. Is Trump losing it? Tom Leonard, whoever that is, of the Daily Mail, asks. Is Donald Trump showing the first signs of losing his marbles? Yeah, right. Yeah, all right. Good one. Good one, Tom. Great take. Want to talk about or write about anything serious? No? Don't know who that is. All right. Big story about Brooklyn Beckham still. It's rumbling on, isn't it? The bloody Beckham story. Could not care less. Oh, look. Alex Preti runs at ICE agents and screams in their faces before smashing Fed's taillight in new video as witness details distraught scene. Yeah, I saw some other clips and footage where even like days previous, he's somewhere else. Smashing the taillights of an ICE car, and even earlier that day, he's like screaming at them, shoot me. He's like, he's an agitator. I'm not saying he deserved to be executed in the street. I'm not saying that, and I don't think that. But he was an agitator, absolutely. Doing as much as he possibly could to agitate the situation. An agent provocateur, if you will. Play silly games, win silly prizes. The Express. King Charles just offered Harry a huge olive branch. Don't care. Starmer called the ECJ. Okay, is there anything else? Something about Meghan. Could not care less. The Sun. Let's see how sloppy the Sun is today. All right, Lucy Letby. Not too sloppy. Oh, immediately into slop. Something about a soap star. I don't know. And how the producers of, what is it, Coronation Street, asked her to appear just in underwear when she was 16. This guy, cocaine bloke, who went to prison and talked about what it was like in prison. Yep. An aeroplane crashed. A light aeroplane crashed somewhere. Celebrities' butts. Booty queens. Yep. The Sun. Good stuff. The New York Slimes. As world's busiest port, China's unbalanced economy comes into view. In Beijing, British Prime Minister sees, quote, huge opportunities, quote. Shooting aftermath leaves Homeland Security Department in turmoil. Trump and Chuck Schumer, move toward possible deal to avert shutdown, another shutdown. All right. Not too sloppy from the New York Slimes today. The Washington Post, real bad. Look at this. The latest on the Washington Post. He says I love you, but won't call me his girlfriend. Are these just opinion pieces? This is the latest. I'm irked by strangers who want to make small talk. Is this just like the column? Okay, all right. The top stories. Like, okay. Sorry, wrong tab. I did think that was particularly vapid, even for the Washington Post. Okay. Well, they talk about the ICE stuff. FBI execute search warrant seeking ballots from Fulton County in the 2020 election. Georgia. Interesting. Yeah, I saw Trump just the other day saying, not that he's ever stopped saying it particularly, but I did see him saying the other day, remember, the 2020 election was completely fraudulent and stolen from me. Like, despite various cases and things that have gone through, and some have and some aren't, but still the narrative, personally, I think there's something there. The narrative that there was still all sorts of shenanigans in various forms, in various ways, went on in 2020. I do not believe all the questions have been answered there. Anyway, let's move on. China, Xi calls on China and Britain to jointly advocate the practice of true multilateralism. Really? True multilateralism. Where we get a lot out of China for what we give them. That. No. All CCP spin and nonsense. China's expanding trillion yuan GDP club highlights economic resilience. China expects record high passenger trips during 2026 spring festival travel rush. Chinese firms maintain steady momentum in outbound investment in 2025, says a survey. Our survey says. Yep, classic Chinese stuff. Move on to the Ruskies. Senior diplomat sees NATO actually preparing for conflict with Russia. It's worrying, isn't it? It's worrying. It's really worrying. I don't want to go to war with Russia. Russia already seeking recovery of losses from its frozen assets via arbitration court. Yeah, that was the time when the European nations got together and a lot of the assets held, I believe, in Belgium, was it? Billions and billions. They just stole it, effectively. And then Zelensky was all butthurt that they didn't just immediately give it to him wholesale. Both Russia and Ukraine. Gross, don't have anything to do with them. US to hand over one of seized tankers to Venezuela. They said they would. Looks like they're doing that. Erdogan proposes to Trump to organise trilateral summit on Iran. Great. Don't care about Erdogan. Hate Erdogan. Don't trust him as far as I can throw him. He's an enemy of Western Europe. And the West. Don't be fooled. Let's have a quick look at some space news. Was there anything of particular interest? I did see one. Where was it? One story was mildly interesting. US Space Command to bring commercial firms into classified war game on nuclear threats in space. Interesting. Yeah, just quickly to say, the phenomenon, the process of private space companies becoming more and more involved, increasingly involved in all things space related. And when you look at it, I did a segment for the main Low Seats podcast a while ago now, as much as 6 months ago. If you look at a list, if you Google it or do a little bit of research and reading, the number of private space agencies there are, obviously they're not all putting up their own built and designed rockets like SpaceX, but the number of companies there are involved in it is massive, way more than you probably think, dozens and dozens. You know, some of them just make components for satellites, nothing more than that. Others are in like looking at doing whole programs and space projects, and they will use NASA or even ESA, the European Space Agency, or the Russians or the Chinese to actually launch them. Like the actual rocket, the actual booster to get them into low Earth orbit is done by one of the big old legacy national space agencies. But everything else is done privately, whether it's a lunar or a Mars orbiter or a lander or a satellite, a myriad of different types of satellites. It's just we've firmly moved out of the realm of the companies like agencies like NASA have got a complete monopoly on it. I mean, we all know it's been a while since then, but we are firmly, firmly, firmly out of that now. All right, should we have a quick look at this day in history? Quick look. On this day in history, which is the 29th of January, in the year 474 AD, Zeno is crowned co-emperor of the Byzantine Empire with his son Leo II, who was aged 6 or 7. Yeah, interesting. It's one of those periods in Eastern Roman history, Byzantine history, that most people probably don't know a great deal about. Zeno was a fascinating emperor, ruled for quite a long time, on and off. 14, 15 odd years he reigned for. Not uninterrupted. It's a fascinating life. It's like the generation or two before Justinian. If anyone knows Justinian the First and the Nicaea riots, I've made content for Epochs of the Lotus Eaters in conversation with one Mr. Carl Benjamin, all about the Nicaea riots and the reign of Justinian the First, one of the highlights of the Byzantine Empire. Also made on my own history theme channel, History Bro, talked about Justinian. So Zeno's in like the generation before. If you really want to know in detail all about Justinian, you need to go back to at least looking at Zeno. Fascinating stuff. Could talk about it for ages, but let's move on. In the year 661 AD, the Rashidun Caliphate, then the largest empire in history, ends with the death of its leader Ali and is succeeded by the Umayyad Caliphate. Yeah, so this is still right at the beginning of, really close to the beginning of the Muslim world, the Muslim empire, all across North Africa, the Near East, and way out further east. So the Umayyads last for a very, very long time. Fascinating stuff. How quickly from the age and the death of Muhammad himself, the armies of Islam explode out across the world. Many historians have said that the world was sort of, or the Near Eastern ancient world, late antiquity, was ripe to be overrun. It was already exhausted in various ways. That accounts for why the Islamic armies were so successful in the 7th century and 8th century. There you go. Fascinating bit of history. Once again, should really know about it if you want a sort of a full view of world history. All right, in 1595, William Shakespeare's play Romeo and Juliet is thought to have been first performed, but it wasn't officially published until 1597, 2 years later. So there you go. Right at the end of the Elizabethan age, Romeo and Juliet. In 1850, Senator Henry Clay drafts the Compromise of 1850 to defuse tensions between slave states and free states over territories won during the Mexican-American War. Yeah, interesting. Everyone knows the Civil War is just about 10 years later. So the Compromise of 1850 sort of puts it off, if you like. As Abraham Lincoln famously said, you know, a house divided cannot stand, or you know that Lincoln said one. I'm paraphrasing now. One way or another, this thing is going to come to a head. He was talking quite a few years after 1850, but nonetheless, he said one way or another, this needs to be sorted out, even if it includes a civil war. But the compromise, Henry Clay's compromise of 1850. Sort of puts that back a bit, in essence. But, interesting nonetheless. Once again, made quite a lot of content about the Civil War, American Civil War. If you want to go out and try and find that. In 1886, Carl Benz presents the Benz Patent Motorwagen in Karlsruhe, Germany, the world's first automobile with an internal combustion engine. Yeah, the story of how the first internal combustion engines came about. It was very, very interesting. Carl Benz himself was a big part of that. It's often the way how all sorts of other inventions from all over the place come together. And a great inventor is often someone that just sees all different things. And it's just like, well, if I put all those together, I can make this new brilliant thing. It's not like Carl Benz invented everything from the carburetor on. No, he just put them together and tweaked it and invented little things. Anyway, fascinated by the story of how internal combustion engines came about. Okay, 1892, the Coca-Cola Company is incorporated in Atlanta, Georgia. In 1896, American Emil Grubb is the first doctor to use radiation treatment for breast cancer. Okay, didn't know that. That's interesting. In 2002, US President George W. Bush, in his State of the Union address, describes regimes that sponsor terror as the axis of evil, which includes Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. So even back then, Iran was sort of high on the list. It's been high on the list since 1979. The United States have always wanted to get that regime. Literally since day one, in 1979. If you look at the hostage crisis during the Carter years, right at the very beginning, from day one. All right, so this time last year, in 2025, on this day last year, was that day when that helicopter crash. US Army helicopter practicing night vision flying crashes midair into commercial jet, killing all 67 passengers, including dozens of figure skaters and crew members, over the Potomac River while approaching Ronald Reagan National Airport near Washington, D.C. That was a year ago today. Remember that one? Terrible. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the show. Oh, before I wrap up, must do the Super Chats. Nearly forgot. All right, so a couple of Rumble rants. Steel Fang says, do you all trust any government? Should we trust any government? With a question mark. Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question, isn't it? It's a fair question. I don't trust particularly. Well, I say, if it was a binary choice between Washington and Tehran, I pick Washington. Yeah, but I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not happy about it. It's not that I'm not aware that they might just be in the pocket of BlackRock or God knows who. Not that I'm happy about it, but when you're given a binary choice, it's like at the last election. Oh, it's so cringe to have supported Trump. What, you want Kamala then? You had two options. You had two options. When you're given a binary choice like that, you want to go for the lesser of two evils, right? You think you're so cool that you're above that? Just abstain. Yeah, good one. Yeah, that's good. But anyway. Steel Fang asks, should you trust any government? Yeah, no, not really. At least be, you know, highly suspicious. Be wary. What else can you do, really, as a normal person? Same person, Steel Fang, says, it's 2 a.m. What are you doing? JK, I hope you are doing well. JK? JK, I don't know who that is. Okay.
It means joking.
Oh. Okay. Fair enough. I thought he was trying to... Okay. Not JK Rowling. Or JK from Jamiroquai. Trying to get word out to JK from Jamiroquai. It's 2 a.m, wherever he is there. I hope you're joking. Hope you're doing well. Thank you. I hope you're doing well, sir. All right, then. The YouTube Super Chats. What have we got? Noble Johnny Callie says, no slurp hold this morning. Sorry, I forgot. He's devastated. Poor fella. Harry, make a note somehow.
We have a slurp poll.
Really?
I did a slurp poll.
Did you?
Yeah, after I saw this donation.
Really? Have we got the results?
Yeah.
Okay. Surely it can't be that they want me to slurp. Oh, okay, so the poll is in. It says, can you bring it up again? Slurp poll. To slurp, 65%. Not to slurp, 35%. They want me to slurp. 65-35. It's not even that close, is it, really? If it was a referendum, the 65 party would be claiming a resounding victory, wouldn't they? Okay, I can feel free to slurp. I won't be deliberately, massively slurping. I won't be leaning into it, but I just won't be worried. I won't be afraid to. I'll just drink normally. If you get any comments, anyone gets annoyed about it, I'll go, 65% of my people, of the glorious band, the Chosen Few, have signed off on it. They're cool with it. You need to just start dealing with it. If you don't like it... No. Okay. All right, that's funny, though. That's funny to me. That's interesting. So, where Noble Johnny Kelly says he's devastated, bro, we've sorted you out. Thank little Harry for that one. To slurp or not to slurp, that is the question. Bring back the slurp to Breakfast with Bo. Okay. Semper Fubar Chili says, been enjoying the show from Chile. Keep up the good work. Saludos. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. It kind of always blows my mind when you sort of know, as being a content creator on a channel where you get even any real views, you know, in the hundreds or in the thousands, even if you get that many, there will be some people that are on the other side of the world watching it. But when you're actually making content, you're in the moment, you're doing it and you're talking, you don't think about that, do you? You don't. You can't. You haven't really got capacity. And then there you go, there's someone in Chile watching me, listening to me. Great, good, cool. Okay. The Fenlander, 1665, says, hot take, Sydney Sweeney is average. Can't agree. I'm not going to go ahead and simp for her. I don't think she's the most beautiful woman in the world. But she's not average. Surely she's above average. Is it me? Again, just trying to be realistic. Not trying to pander to anyone or anything. Just being honest with how I... She's not the most beautiful woman ever to have lived, right? She's not average. Come on. Is she? Maybe do a poll tomorrow. Is Sydney Sweeney average? Do that tomorrow. I don't think so. If she came into the room, most people, and she's not Sydney Sweeney, she's just a normal woman, but looks exactly like Sydney Sweeney, and she walks into any given room, most people's heads will turn. Wouldn't they? That's not average. How is that average? I don't know. If you was in a bar and she came up and hit on you, you wouldn't be like, I'm a bit indifferent to you, love. You wouldn't. You'd be like, oh, wow, okay, cool, great. Let me buy you a drink. Surely. I don't know. I don't feel like she's average. Although I don't simp for her either. I don't get why she's like the hottest thing in the world. Like she's shorthand for the most amazing, sexiest woman in the world. I don't think that either. Spending too long talking about Sydney Sweeney, aren't I? Let's move on. Jacob Wolf 6288. What would your ideal intervention look like? Personally, I think the protests have been cracked down upon and I don't see the good in a strike. I doubt a strike will change the ground situation. Fair take. Fair take. I mean, you could argue the opposite, that if strikes happened, they would start up again. But yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. You may well certainly be right. You could possibly be right. What would my ideal intervention look like? Okay, if we're saying we're definitely doing an intervention, right? That Rubicon has been crossed. That decision has been made. We're definitely doing some sort of intervention. Now, what does it look like? Oh, God, I don't know. God. Wow. I guess, if you're going to do it, go the whole hog and try to cut the head off the snake, try and take out all the top people, assassinate them. It's dirty, isn't it? It's dirty, but anyway, try and kill all of them, take out, obviously you'd have to take out their ability to have any control of the sky, so take out... The list gets quite long quite quickly, doesn't it, when you look at it, because you have to take out their ability to launch any sort of fast jets for a start. So it's all like their military and civil aviation, you know, all their command and control towers, all the airfields themselves, all the planes themselves. And then, and of course, the missile capabilities, all the silos, again, all the infrastructure goes towards the targeting of, and on and on and on. And that's... You might want to need to take out like a lot of the military bases. When you start doing it and looking at it, the list quite quickly becomes very, very, very long of all the stuff you've got to hit. Okay, and you may well just be right there, Jacob Wolf, that the moment to have done it has passed. But who knows? Maybe not. Maybe in these things there is no perfect time. There is never a perfect time. Okay. Baz the Dark Horse 1 says, in the UK versus China relationship, Starmer is clearly the bottom. Very sad. Yeah. Not wrong, are you, Baz? Baz is correct, isn't he? We're the weaker partner in that relationship and not prepared to even try and stand up for ourselves in what limited way we could. Under the leadership of Keir Starmer. Okay. Yeah, China's much more populous, much more resources, much, much more money, everything. Obviously, yeah. Okay. Luke Stewart, 6155, says, G'day, Bo. All America need to do is drop the sun. Is that a reference to nukes, maybe, I suppose? I'm not sure. But, yeah. Just carpet nuke the whole of Persia. Job done. Now, of course, that's insane. That might get clipped, right? Okay. Lord 3 says, why did you choose Barbie Pink for the set? Is it Barbie Pink? Is that Barbie Pink? Harry did the wall. I like it. It's sort of... There's various shades of purple and pink there, I believe. It's supposed to be sort of, what is it, like the synth wave aesthetic type thing. Like throwback 80s retro, something like that. I like it. I think it's soothing, actually. Pink, purpley pink, isn't it quite soothing? Easy on the eye? Is it not easy on the eye? Okay, if you didn't like Barbie Pink. Rule 3 doesn't like the Barbie Pink, Harry. Okay. Matthew Hammond, 9575, said... James K. Polk, a president, an ex-president, died in office, didn't he? Should have conquered Mexico, but they feared how poor Mexicans were and did not want to add them to the US. Right, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, was Polk one of the presidents who died in office of natural causes? He like just got pneumonia or something or other and died. Most people, even who know about presidents of the United States, sort of forget about Polk a bit. I think that's one of his the reputation, a bit of him. It's like, oh yeah, God, yeah, and Polk, forgot about him. Anyway, an interesting point. Wanting to invade Mexico, but realised it would just be, they're so poor that we'd just endlessly be having to sort of prop them up and give them money. Yeah, maybe. And then Hatel 275 says, "Will not deprive an Englishman of his tea." Yeah, great, thank you. Yeah, an Englishman's cup of tea is his own private kingdom. She'll defend it with his life. That one's gone cold, though. Okay, that's it. That's it for today. It is now 14 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Thursday, 29th of January, in the year of our Lord 2026. You have been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for tuning in. Without you, it isn't a thing. It really isn't. Try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. I know it's not always easy, you know, but if you can, carpe diem, seize the day. You'll only have it once. Once it's gone, it's gone. Well then, until tomorrow morning, take care.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.